This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
H-Town, baby.
I'm with Cal.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ryan Hughley is out. B. Scott is in. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. And we got a little 5 o'clock fire for y'all. What's going down in the city? What do you need to know? What can you not live one more minute without learning? Well, we got some Astros updates for y'all. Some Astros updates here. Starting up with Josh Hader. Astros fans, it's not positive, right? A little medical update here. Left-handed pitcher Josh Hader has been diagnosed with a left shoulder capsule sprain. Not strain, sprain. As a result, he will not throw for a period of approximately 3 weeks while rehabbing his shoulder. Once that time period is up, the next steps will be determined. B. Scott, are you surprised that this is going to be a little bit longer than 14 or 15 days? And just your thoughts on Josh Hader, the Astros, moving forward without him.
Yeah, I don't think we're in a position to be surprised based off of how the injury history for the team overall has gone. And then based off of what we heard from Joe Espada after this, saying that, you know, it's probably going to be longer than the 2 weeks, probably longer than the 15 days. Well, longer than 2 weeks, three weeks sounds like it's longer than 2 weeks. You know, that kind of just makes sense that it would be at least 3 weeks that we're talking about. Of him being out. Now, we're just talking about, it turns out to be 3 weeks of him not throwing. So probably out more than that. You know, he's not going to just be resting for 3 weeks and then they're just going to throw him out there in the ninth. So, I don't know what the timeline is going to be, what exactly we're looking at. If I'm just being real about it, okay, I don't want to be negative. I don't want to bring the vibes down. But if I'm just being real and honest with you, it's not a good feeling. It is not something that I'm just optimistic about. I'm not saying that the dude is out for the rest of the year because I obviously don't know that, but it's hard not to be fearful of that when you get this type of news, especially late in the season. You know, when we were seeing these injuries earlier in the year, a lot of the glass half full perspective would be, well, you'd rather it happen now than closer to the trade deadline or after the trade deadline, or certainly as you're trying to make that push to win the division, to position yourself with seeding and all of that. So it's the worst time for it to happen, not just in terms of convenience, but also in how you feel about it, because you're kind of running out of time for a guy to be figuring out an injury, you know, an injury that looks like it's going to have him rest him for 3 weeks.
Right. Well, the Astros have the next 20 games. You know, it seemed to be a little bit of a lull in the schedule. Really, you can say the rest of the way there's not. Would you say there's three teams have a lease
A weaker schedule.
A weaker schedule.
In terms of strength of schedule, Tankathon does this for all of the leagues. And according to them, only three teams have a weaker schedule remaining than the Astros, and all three of those teams are National League teams.
Yeah, just a few over 40 games left, so maybe Josh Hader can get this thing right, get a little ramp-up period, and get a couple of appearances before the end of the season. I think that's best-case scenario. We shall see. Without Josh Hader, look, I think Brian Abreu in the ninth, I'm confident in Brian Abreu. There's no reason not to, whether you're looking at the stats or you're looking at the performance. He's been good when he's been asked to pitch the ninth inning. Not been good. He's been great. I don't think he's given up a run, so... look, I like Brian Abreu. Now, the gap between the starter and the guys you trust just got a little wider. Now you got to get to the ninth, and you don't have anybody but Abreu to get to, where you were getting to the eighth with Abreu and the ninth with Hader. So that gap's got a little wider between your starter and your closer, and we'll see how that goes down. But Josh Hader looks like he's going to be out for at least 3 weeks. Now, also, Jeremy Pena was planned on playing today in the first game in a three-game set here at home versus the Orioles, and Jeremy Pena has been scratched from tonight's game versus the Orioles. He is under the weather, Joe Espada said, reported to the ballpark today, but is now seeing team doctors to see what is wrong. Hopefully, this is just some kind of bug, as Tyler said. Hopefully, he's just... there's a little food poisoning or just a little bit of a chest cold, head cold, something going on that he'll get over pretty quickly and be right back.
Yeah, I don't even have it in me, Clint, just to be honest, man. I don't even have it in me to be worried about Jeremy Pena. You know what I mean? Because if Jeremy Pena is not right, then what are we – I mean, we're really working left-handed here, operating left-handed here if we don't have, you know, your all-star caliber shortstop. So, look, this is – probably a stomach bug. I know we were talking about, before we heard about the stomach bug, we were talking about load management, them trying to just manage him properly after the rib injury, not be too hasty with him, especially given the fact that he was a workhorse leading up to that injury. But yeah, you hope that this is just a stomach bug and that your boy will be out there not too long from now.
The Astros, they'll crank up a three-game set here at home versus the Orioles, and the starting pitching looks like this: Framber Valdez tonight in game one, Jason Alexander tomorrow night in game two, and then Sunday afternoon at 1:10, it looks like Christian Javier is going to get his second start. Go ahead, B. Scott.
Can I give you this quote from Dana Brown on Josh Hader? I don't know if we have done this yet, but...
I've not done any. I just mentioned the Josh Hader injury update, so go ahead.
Yeah, so Dana Brown spoke not that long ago. This was put out there by our old friend Adam Spillane. Mentions from Dana Brown on the Josh Hader diagnosis. He said, this is a quote: "I personally view it as good news because anytime you can rehab, that's always a better option. Hopefully in these 3 weeks, he'll feel better and we'll get him to throwing a baseball and life will be back to normal." So it sounds like he's just trying to have the glass half full view of it.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily make me feel any better about it personally. But I guess from Dana Brown's standpoint, you got to put that positive spin on it one way or another. Because, I mean, if you're Dana Brown and you're seeing guys drop left and right, I mean, how do you keep yourself from going crazy?
Well, I can't believe Dana Brown's still commenting and not just saying, hey, I ain't got nothing to add. I don't know what he's doing, but that's nor here nor there.
I personally view it as good news.
Yeah.
Not me, Dana. Look, sorry, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, Dana, the fact that you view it as good news makes me feel worse as an Astros fan, if I'm being completely honest. Again,
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
The Astros crank up that series versus the Orioles tonight. That the starting lineup for tonight: Jose Altuve is leading off. He's a DH. Carlos Correa is batting second, playing third. Jesus Sanchez is batting third, playing left field. Christian Walker is batting fourth. He'll be at first base. Yainer Diaz is catching. He'll be batting fifth. And Urias, he is batting sixth, and he'll be playing second. Trammell is in center field, batting seventh. Dubon is at shortstop, batting eighth. And then Cam Smith will be batting ninth in right field. As I said earlier, Framber Valdez is on the bump.
5 o'clock fire.
Texans training camp right now is, we are off today. There was a joint practice yesterday, and we've got a preseason game 2 tomorrow. B. Scott, just your thoughts on what you hope to see tomorrow with the Texans joint practice. Typically, this is a game where starters play. I would say offensively for the Texans, this is a game where not only do they play, but hell, they need to play and get some run. But just your thoughts, Texans kick off tomorrow at noon against the Carolina Panthers.
Can the early part of the game look similar to the early part of the game against Minnesota? Like, a lot of what I saw, kind of the reaction to that game was, look, if this is what the others look like in this offense, if they can come out and give you a clean operation and look like a well-oiled machine the way they did, led by Davis Mills, does it look the same way with C.J. Stroud? And we anticipate that the answer is yes, but they have to actually go out there and do that. I'm looking forward to watching the offense as one that's being remade, as one that's being reimagined, with a first-time play caller, okay? Like, all of these things, now we actually get to see it, not just for the first time like we did last week in Minnesota, but for the first time with all of the important pieces to it. So I want to see exactly what that looks like. I'm really curious. I didn't get to this earlier in our training camp thought, or I should say our joint practice thoughts, but I did want to mention MJ Stewart as, and I'm only mentioning it because you got to feel that CJ Gardner-Johnson role. I didn't realize as much until after that practice, or after watching that practice, how much they actually believe in MJ Stewart just as a guy in that locker room and as a next man up type. I don't know if any of us are fully comfortable with him being like a long-term solution or having to play multiple games. But in a pinch, obviously, early on in the season, if CJ Gardner-Johnson deals with this knee injury and tries to work his way back, I don't know how long that's going to take. But MJ Stewart is somebody that I had an eye on at practice and will have an eye on in this game on Saturday, assuming, obviously, that he plays, and I think that he will.
Well, I think in that secondary, you got guys that'll play, and I think when it comes to looking at, you know, there's no Jimmy Ward, obviously, and there is there's no, for the near future, at least, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. What are they going to do at that safety position? And I don't think D'Amico's going to completely show his cards, but you got Jalen Mills, who I looked over there yesterday, and the veteran that they recently signed was out there. You mentioned M.J. Stewart. Yep. I think the Yeast fellas got and not necessarily at that same position, but just I'm just talking pieces that they have that they can move around out there. Russ Yeast, Miles Bryant, I think these are all pieces. Even Jalen Petrie, again, guys that are kind of interchangeable and can do some different things in that secondary, which if it's not one guy to pick up, and M.J. Stewart, say, to pick up the slack with C.J. Gardner out, then I bet it's multiple guys, and I just mentioned – several that could get the run. I think offensively, this is more about offense. I think for me, defensively, with the exception of what you just mentioned, I really don't care to see any of those guys, any of the starters. I mean, if they need it, cool, give it to them, but I don't.
It was the only one defensively I could point out.
Yeah.
Because everybody else, I feel like we can put the money in the bank. We know what we're getting.
Absolutely, man. I think the depth at linebacker on the defensive side of the football is absolutely tremendous, that most of those guys will play. Again, the depth guys, not the starters, and they need the work. I like Daryl Taylor at that defensive end position. He'll get some run. I think Jalen Smith in that secondary will be somebody to watch that could potentially help this team down the stretch. There's a lot to watch on defense. I just don't need to see Will Anderson and Daniil and Aziz and all those guys. Offensively, though, I think there is a method to the madness of those guys getting some playing time. And where I'm going with that, Texans fans, is I could see Stroud getting some extended time, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Nick Chubb, Titus Howard, Dalton Schultz. I doubt very seriously that I go 6 for 6 and all of those guys play, but I bet you that they get a lot of the starters some run tomorrow. Given the fact that I think we saw a different C.J. Stroud. I think we saw a different offensive unit after they had a little success yesterday in that joint practice against Carolina. A little more pep in their step. I think they need it. They're installing an offense. They need some clean reps. I think it's a great time to get it.
Clint, don't you think it would be good to get some clarity on two position groups on the offensive side of the ball, running back and wide receiver?
Absolutely.
And I'm talking about the depth. We know who's on the top end. Nico Collins, by the way, just worth mentioning, the only real clear superstar of yesterday's practice. Like, just obvious, again, drop me out of the sky, I don't know nothing. Who is a dude? Nico Collins was just an obvious dude to me yesterday.
Yeah,
one of the few of those. But, like, outside of that, the depth pieces, when we talk about the John, I think Xavier Hutchinson has separated himself a little bit, but when we talk about the John Metchies, Justin Watson. I think you and I both like Braxton Berrios, but yep. like, how is the back end of that position group going to play itself out? Are we going to get some clarity on that? And then, of course, I've talked about the running back position as well. I want to see that.
Yep, we will get to it. Texans, Panthers kickoff tomorrow at noon. Stay plugged into Sports Radio 610. Seth and Sean will have the pregame show, which I think it starts up, cranks up around 9 o'clock. And then Sean and myself, we do the postgame show for the Texans. Boy, I'm getting old. You start counting up how many years I've been doing that damn postgame show.
Yeah, but, you said 6-7 years?
I think it's actually 6. I think I was wrong. I said 7 out of the gate, but I got to counting the other day just players and how far I could remember back. I think it's actually 6. I think I gave myself 1 year credit that I didn't earn. So, but yeah, man, it's definitely been 6.
I mean, I've been with you since 2019. Mm-hmm. I can remember personally being down there for the first time. Doing one in 2019, yeah. So however many years that is, that's for sure.
Well, there was 1 year with Deshaun, which means Bill was there, and I think that was the year Bill got fired.
Not fun days.
Well, 2019 would have been the last full year with Bill, and then the year he got fired, we were all locked up in doing Zooms. 2020
in COVID. So that's why we didn't have play. That's right. I was wondering, like, why can I not remember? Because I can remember vividly. How I was counting the years. I was like. That's right.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be the lost year for us all. Everybody that will be old enough to remember COVID, it will be kind of the dark year, 2020. Because, I mean,
so
I can't even remember how we did.
So this is year 7.
There you go. 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Year 7.
Yeah, you do a full year with Bill.
Yeah.
A half year with Bill.
Yeah.
That was Bill and Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, but a weird year because it was 2020.
Right, but that's 2.
That counts.
And then Cully, Lovey.
And then these are 3 with D'Amico.
And this is the 3rd with D'Amico. Yeah, so it is 7. This is year 7. You start and you say, I'll be damn. See there?
Yeah.
A wily vet, boy. I tell you what.
Yeah, man.
I bet you're enjoying these shows post, pre, whatever with Sean talking Texans a lot more now than you were back in them Bob or Cully days, huh?
Well, I'll be honest with you guys, man. I mean, and you know it if you're listening or working. Like, man, I can get down in the weeds on action, man. Like game action, like breaking down the game.
You're a football head.
But whether you or anybody listening or whatever, whether you like it or think I'm good or not at it is irrelevant to me. Like I can get good and juiced up. Like those are the moments when I'm like, I'm passionate and kind of out of body, out of mind type stuff. I don't give a damn.
I mean, I can attest to this. I've been sitting next to you the entire time. So now that I'm thinking it through, this is my 7th year too. This is both of our 7th year. Just like obviously you doing the post game, but me also being around and part of the team. I can tell you, as somebody that's been sitting with Clint the whole time, his energy and passion for what we're seeing has not fluctuated based off of the quality of play. Maybe the commentary itself has because of what we were watching.
You got to be careful sometimes.
But in terms of the passion for the game and the X's and O's, like you're talking about, it's been the same, pretty consistent.
Yeah, it's fun, man. I enjoy it. Working with Sean's really cool, and getting to do that once a week is fun. So stay plugged into Sports Radio 610 pregame. Obviously, the game with Vandy and Andre Ware and Johnny Harris and company, and then myself and Sean for that postgame. We'll be knocking it out. Hey, let's get back on this Astros stuff real quick. And before the Astros and the Orioles tip off tonight, there is you know, if you look at the games that are left, look at the Astros schedule, there is a huge opportunity here for the Astros to put an exclamation point on this season. And I think it's a real one. We'll see what you think about it.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. And you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025, and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
About it. We'll see what B. Scott thinks about it. We'll put it all out there. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. B. Scott is in. Tyler Milner's on the ones and twos behind the glass. Baby, you're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. I want to remind everybody out there, download that Odyssey app, man. AUDACY. Download the Odyssey app. You can use the rewind feature right now to go back and listen to Texans ownership was in the building with us. Cal and Hannah McNair at 3 o'clock, 3 to 3:30. They spent a little extra time with us. You can go back and listen to that. There's a cool feature on there, that rewind feature. That's big time. All the podcasts are there as well. And, hey, man, we just appreciate it if you download it and keep us on your hip, man. AUDACY. Download the app, right? We got Texans preseason game tomorrow versus the Panthers. Kicks at noon. We'll be there. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with that pregame show. Me and Sean with that postgame show. So stay plugged into Sports Radio 610 all day tomorrow as well. As you know, it's the home of the Houston Texans, and we got you covered there. Now, the Astros start a three-game series right here at home, Daikin Park, against the Baltimore Orioles. And B. Scott, I did a little bit of digging, for what it's worth. I did a little digging here on the schedule. There's roughly 40 games, 41, 42 games left in the season. And the next 20 games in particular, I think there's a real opportunity for the Astros to separate here a bit. Right now, the Astros have a game and a half lead in the division over the Mariners. And the next 20 games, B. Scott, 14 of them are games that they'll be heavily favored in. And look, as you mentioned, you know, they've got one of the weakest strength of schedules remaining this year anyway. So the whole year, really, you don't need to break it down to get to a strength of schedule advantage that the Astros have here. But I'm just looking at the next 20 games. There are no head-to-head matchups with Texas or Seattle in the next 20. And really, the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers are really the only two teams that you're going to face where you're not going to be favored. And depending on what happens when you run into the Yankees, hell, you might be favored when you run into them. I'm sure you will if status quo stays, right?
I mean, I can say as an Astros fan, and y'all can back me up on this. Yeah, we went there just the last time they got to come
I believe
here.
That's I right.
would figure.
I believe that's right.
But either way, I mean, based off of the history, got a little Astros arrogance when we go against them Yankees, baby. Yeah. I ain't never scared. With the point considered that they are legitimate, that they are the Yankees. I'm not discounting that. I just like, you know, advantage Astros.
Right. I agree. I feel good with all of them, really. But in the next 20 games, the Astros have seven of them versus the Orioles, who are a ish show. You got three versus the Colorado Rockies, who Tyler were stupid for not betting every night, Oppo and them suckers.
Worst team in baseball.
You know, four, I'm sorry, they do have the Angels in this mix. I said we didn't. No, I didn't. I said the Rangers and the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
You have the Angels, four versus the Angels in this mix as well. Point is this. The Mariners have, I would say a tougher schedule over the next 20 than the Astros. Probably a significantly more difficult schedule than the Astros. This is a real opportunity over the next 3 weeks of baseball for the Astros, B. Scott, to make a move. Again, it's a game and a half right now, the lead in the division. With the opponents that they face over the next 20 games, I don't see how they can't stretch this thing out to 3, 4, 4.5. Now, the Mariners have been obviously ridiculously hot before this last series.
Yeah.
That'd be tough to extend a lead on. But I just got to believe that as their schedule toughens up a bit and ours weakens up a bit, that we'll be able to make a move here, given that we got so many games that we should be able to handle up the opponent.
So three opponents specifically that you mentioned that I got my eyes on, and I'm just going to declare this here right now, right here, right now. I need a clean sweep over these next 20 games against all of these opponents. Tally up however many games it is against these three opponents, but over the next 20 games, as you mentioned, you've got the Orioles starting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
At some point as well, you've got the Rockies and the Angels.
That's right.
Orioles, Rockies, Angels. When we talk about the importance of these next 20 games, and they got the Angels again at the end of the season. So really, all of those, count those in the next 20 plus the end of the season against the Angels. I need every one of those.
Well, you're talking 14 games in the next 20, which you name the opponents that I feel like they're going to be favored in heavily, and then the other six games in the next 20 are Detroit and the Yankees. So that's 14 games you mentioned.
I need every one of them, Clint.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get every one of them. I'm saying that with a little bravado, with a little umph and emphasis here. But, I mean, certainly, you know, like 9 to 10 of them, right? And I would take all of them.
Right. Well, here's my overall point with the 20 game setup, right? And why the discussion needs to be 20 or 21, however you want to couch it. I think on the last 20 to 21 games in the season, you've got the Rangers in two series, you got the Mariners in one series, and as you mentioned, you got the Angels, I think, and the A's to finish it out. But the head to head that could be a problem for the Astros record wise when it comes around is the Rangers and the Mariners.
Right.
Those two teams right there, it could be neck and neck. And this is the opportunity for the Astros to extend their lead, to give themselves a little bit of grace, a little bit of cushion when those head-to-head matchups come around to where it's not so painful if you can't win a series, right? It's not so – as long as you don't get swept, you can still maintain a lead in the division. So, to me, again, breaking this thing up in 20-game increments, I think this is just a big-time opportunity for the Astros.
I want to point this out about those teams that we're talking about. Again, the Rockies, the Orioles starting tonight,
Angels.
And the Angels, okay? All three are in the bottom half and at the very least bottom 13 in the league in run creation. It's an advanced stat for how well you are at creating runs.
Sure.
All three are at the bottom and the Rockies are the very worst. They're at the very bottom. So, and then on the other side of that, the Astros, for as much as we complain about the injuries, for as concerned as we are right now about the Josh Hader situation, the Astros are still the team that leads the majors in strikeouts, second in the American League in whip, and then third in the American League in opponents' batting average, fourth in the American League in ERA. Mm. So, like, they are still clearly, and a lot of this I think is probably – you know, got something to do with the how well they pitched on the front end. You know, some of that early Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez stuff that we were getting, because this is a season long stat.
Yeah,
but it still goes to show you that as bad as it's been injury wise, luck wise, that they have pitched their tails off as a squad and as a unit. Yeah. And now you're going up against teams that notoriously don't do a good job of creating runs.
Right.
So you got to handle business against those teams.
Yeah, and this series against the Orioles with a three-game set here, and you're going to get Framber tonight, Jason Alexander tomorrow, and then Christian Javier's second start from after returning from injury.
So don't play with your food, baby. Right? Don't play with your food.
Those two guys, Jason Alexander and Christian Javier, those two guys, it's a fascinated watch, man. One of them, obviously, we know what he's got in the tank, but it's just a matter of how quick can it was. Was his first start as an Astro? I'm sorry, when his first start back from the injury, was that real, or do we have some kind of backslide? What does Christian Javier look like moving forward? And then can Jason Alexander make this real? Where an outing, great outing against the Mariners, great outing against the Yankees, Can he keep this thing rolling? We'll see. I mean, I think those two guys right there are going to go a long way in what kind of noise can the Astros make over the next 20 games. I feel pretty good about their ability to do so. All right, as I mentioned, the Texans, they've got a joint practice. Preseason game tomorrow, kicks at noon. This is a game where the starters should play to some degree. We don't know exactly how long. We don't know if everybody's going to play, but we expect to see more starters this week than we did last week. What do we hope we know Sunday about this Texans team that we didn't know or that we don't know today? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It used to be Carver Line.
H-Town, I'm back.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. You listen to Sports Radio 610, baby. Houston sports leader. We appreciate every single one of y'all out there listening. Wouldn't be possible without you. If you watch it on YouTube and Twitch, we appreciate you there as well. AM, FM dial. Download that Audacy app, AUDACY. Hey, man, we've got a our first preseason, albeit preseason, home game of the season this year. Texans-Panthers tomorrow at noon. Cal McNair told me yesterday and reiterated today right here in this studio. Wants everybody to come on out. Come out early. Tailgate your tail off. Get good and loud. Come on in the building. And let's see a little bit of that home field advantage that we've created over the last couple of years. Let's see it come to life a little bit tomorrow. Just give us a little peek of it tomorrow in the preseason. B. Scott, this is a big time of year for the Texans in a roster building standpoint. From a roster building standpoint, now this is a beautiful thing with the Texans. Is if we sat down right now, I'm not real big into guessing rosters here, who's going to make the roster, who's not, how many of this position they keep, how many do they don't. I'm not real big into that, but the overall point is 2 years ago, I mean, I think you probably had about 30% of the roster that you could that was just locks to make it. Right now, I bet you got 80 to 85%, maybe even more, of this roster, yep. which points directly to just the health of the organization, to, you know, how stable the organization, the team, the roster is, and how well D'Amico and Nick have built this thing. There is no doubt, you know, whatever decisions they make, you know, we pick them apart and we break bread and create content, and that's what we do here. But when you look at it big picture, this roster is second to none. I mean, this roster through and through is second to none. Boy, if you take a couple of injuries out of the mix, if you got Joe Mixon on the offensive side of the football, if you keep Brevin Jordan healthy on the offensive side of the football, if you keep C.J. Gardner-Johnson healthy, and you've got Ward coming in there, and if you can get Christian Harris healthy, and you can get what's my man that was with the D tackle that was with the Texans, the Titans that came over last year?
D'Nico Autry. Yeah.
You get D'Nico Autry healthy. You get some of those interior guys healthy. I mean, good gosh, this roster is stacked. I mean, it is. I bet it's closer to 95%.
Yeah,
that you can lock guys up. There's very little room for decisions and competition to make the minds up of this group, whether a guy makes a team or not. But with all that said, I do think we're going to see some quality play from particularly our depth guys this week, and there are some competitions going on. But the week two in the preseason, typically we see some starters play. So on that front, we've talked about competition, position battles, roster spots. If the starters play tomorrow, what do you hope to see? What do you hope to know Sunday, B. Scott, about the Texans that you don't know right now as we sit?
I'm going to answer your question, but just listening to you talk did get me thinking about the potential of, because D'Nico Autry's been hurt and we haven't seen him, but the potential of a pass rushing situation of Daryl Taylor, D'Nico Autry inside, and then them lining up Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson together on the other side. Like, put a pin in that. That's not nothing to watch out for tomorrow. I'll get to that in just a second. But put a pin in that as like a potential thing, right, as a pass rushing just boss type of situation. Well,
you could present itself. You saw the D'Nico Autry, Will Anderson to one side at a joint practice yesterday that
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
That got you.
Or yeah,
Danico Autry. I meant Danico.
But even that would be scary.
Right.
Either one would be scary. But yeah, all of that though. So that is just something. And I did see that yesterday. Got me intrigued. I even asked Will about it. But just something to think about. As far as this game goes, to answer your question, I think it's pretty obvious, man. Like it's pretty obvious and clear of what the priority should be from a team watching, observing standpoint, and that is, how does CJ Stroud, and then also by extension as a part of that, how does CJ Stroud and how does the, as close to as we can see it and view it, first string offensive line look in this new offense with CJ Stroud, right? So we've seen the offense. We've seen it look fairly good on its first drive, okay, with Davis Mills in that first preseason game. So I feel like that gave people enough of a good feeling about the offense overall. But the thing that we haven't seen, to your question, what's something that you want to see and feel good about or learn that you don't know today or going into the game? We have not seen CJ Stroud in this offense. You and I have seen it. We've watched practice. The fans that have been fortunate enough to go to practices have seen a practice version. Hell, the fans were out there yesterday for the joint practice. So we've seen a little bit of it. But what does it look like under the lights in a real game scenario? I know it's a game that doesn't count, but if they're going to play their first string, if they're going to play their starters, that means they're going to be really trying at least for that portion of the game. What does that look like? I think that's the big question for the Texans going into the season, and this is going to be our first taste of it. I would like to come away from the game feeling something and hopefully feeling good about how CJ Stroud and, of course, this offensive line, the first-string offensive line, whatever is going to be tasked with protecting C.J. Stroud, how they look under this new, newly made offense under Nick Caley.
Yeah, I got three things for you, B. Scott. I'm going to start one very similar to what you said, and I'm going to go specifically interior O-line play. Everybody that I'm going to mention right now, we've never seen play football in a Texans uniform, with the exception of last week if they played a little bit in the preseason, right? The interior offensive line, it looks like what we're looking at is Ed Ingram, Jake Andrews, and a Lakin Tomlinson interior offensive line.
That's from right to left.
Yes. Those are all guys that we have not seen in a Texans uniform play, again, unless I think Ed and Jake may have played a little bit last week. Anyway.
But not with C.J. Stroud.
Right. Point being is, if those three guys can shore up the pass protection and give C.J. Stroud somewhere to push up in the pocket, give C.J. Stroud good vision, and give him the ability to step into his throws and finish his throws and somewhere to escape to that protection, that is going to go a country mile for the Texans this year. And I know if it does happen, everybody's going to say, well, it's vanilla and it's just a preseason game. That's a step in the right direction. Trust me, we watched vanilla preseason type level players and play get home to C.J. Stroud last year during the regular season. So the interior O-line play, particularly guys that we've never seen play extensively in a Texans uniform, and can they give C.J. Stroud, it'd be real easy for us all to see. Is C.J. Stroud able to drop back, and even if he's pressured, slide up into the pocket and even scramble or slide up into pocket and make throws? Does he have room? And it all starts on the interior O-line play. Secondly, I'm going to go with the Iowa State wide receivers. We know these two guys are going to make the team. Xavier Hutchinson, I think, is going to make the team, but I'm not worried about him. The two rookies from Iowa State are the two guys that we have seen very little of in a game situation, and I want to see what these guys are made of. I want to see these guys go make plays. I've seen Jalen Knoll make a bunch of plays in camp. I want to see if he can do it in a game. We've seen Higgins make big boy, big time highlight reel plays in training camp and mini camp. Can he do it in a game? What are the Iowa State wide receivers all about? And then third for me is I've been on this kid's, I've been on his train for a while now. The kid out of USC, the corner out of USC.
Oh, Jalen
Smith. He's one that he got a little run last week, but I'm not looking for him to get run. I'm looking for him to make plays. Those three guys right there, those three areas or players specifically, are guys that could change the game for the Texans this week. And I want to see all of them. I'd love to, but at least one or two of those come out knowing a little bit more about than I do right now.
Man, it would be so huge if Jalen Smith could add to your cornerback depth.
Game changer.
Like it's the thing that I know we talk about quite a bit, but still maybe doesn't get enough attention, is how thin they are outside of those top end guys. That being Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamari Lassiter. Like after that, there are guys that you heard of and guys that have been around on the team before. Tremont Smith and D'Angelo Ross, and like they got guys that we've heard of. But how confident are you really in the depth of that position? If Jalen Smith can show you something, that would be huge. I think that interior offensive line, just to get specific on the offense, I know I mentioned them, but you did a great job there of like specifically pointing out where the holes have been, right? Like they have had procedural issues at tackle, but Laramie Tunsil was their best offensive lineman by a country mile. The issues, the talent issues, the communication issues, all of that seemed to rear its ugly head on the interior. That was the part going into the offseason we said that they needed to address and fix. Now, they did address it. The question now becomes, did they fix it? I don't think we're going to know that for sure based off of this game, but we will get some insight into it going into this game or after this game.
Well, we can damn sure get a peek at Ed Ingram, who in the advanced stats world is not a good pass protector. We can get a good look at Jake Andrews, who obviously was released by the Patriots and picked up by Houston immediately, the start and center kind of deal. Like, those are all, hey, man, let's see it. Let's see rubber meet the road and see what these guys are all about. And I think Lakin Tomlinson, if he does play, I think he's a guy that D'Amico knew exactly who the hell he was bringing in here.
Yeah.
I want to see what D'Amico saw in him to bring him in here and be the answer. So I think we can get some answers in a quarter of play, or maybe even a half of play from the starters, and hopefully CJ Stroud's involved in that. T-Mill, we got some best bets, baby. Let's wrap this. Let's put a bow on this thing on a beautiful Friday afternoon.
Yes, sir. We can do so in a pretty cool fashion, but it's going to take a lot. First 3 days this week weren't great, weren't awful. We hit the green last night on a Thursday, and now with these Friday picks, if I give you six, which I'm going to do, if we hit all six of these, we need a perfect Friday night. We will have a profitable week.
No pressure.
60%.
No pressure.
I never feel it anyway, Dirty.
I hear.
But here we go. Six bets for you, up from five. First, three of these are Astros related, by the way. First, Red Sox. First five money line. First five innings money line as they are hosting the Marlins. I got the odds at -145. Next, been betting a lot on this series and winning a lot on this series. Diamondbacks and Rockies, I believe this is their series finale. I am under, big number for first five innings, under 6.5 runs in the first five innings of this one. Now, they eclipsed that yesterday, but I don't think they'll do it twice in a row. Angels at A's. Two just very piss-poor baseball squads you find in the AL West. Angels at A's, under 10.5 runs. Those bats ain't that good. Here are your Astros bets. Three of them. For Amber Knight, so I'm on the Astros -1 run for game one against the Orioles. I'm on the over tonight over at Daikin Park, which is set at 7.5. Astros O's over 7.5. Lastly, a frequent one, the GOAT, Altuve, over 1.5 total bases. He's your leadoff man tonight. Puts one in the seats first inning. You win some money. Those are your six best bets. Y'all tell me what you like or what you hate.
Oh, man, I like that Altuve bet. That's the one that is that's going to intrigue me the most. I'm not mad at your money line bet on the Red Sox. And then anything that you do that is anti-Rockies, like you're betting against the Rockies is what I heard.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that as well.
Yeah, I like betting. The problem with that Rockies bet is I'm not sure the Rockies don't give up seven in the first inning. So that's the scary part with them.
Yeah. I think the D-backs scored three or four in the first inning yesterday. But I'm telling you tonight.
I like the three Astros bets, T. I think you got a chance, baby. Six for six? You go six for six tonight. I'm calling you tomorrow, and I'm getting on that train this weekend, baby.
Let's go.
That is T Mill's best bets, baby. Check them out on Twitter if you missed them. T Mill at T Mill Real Deal. Give him a follow, baby. Stay plugged in. T Mill keeps it interesting on them socials now. For me, my man B Scott, my boy T Mill, for Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610 Houston, we love you, baby. A lovely day. Exactly where
you're
going.
You're going to be able to save my girl. Quarterback. Yes.
Yeah.
Just interject real quick, too, to that. Clint, Hannah, our guy Ron, the show, Hughley, just texted in a minute ago. He wanted me to pass along to you that he is very drunk right now, but he is also a humongous supporter and loves the Lady Flag football going on.
There you go.
Tell Ron he's not here, so he doesn't get input.
Great response.
He doesn't get mentioned.
Does this count as us being on your show? Always seems to know the way.
I'm drunk, I guess.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.